Would you please turn with me to Psalm 18 and verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, I will. Mine says in capital letters. That's the only time you can say I will, when it's followed by something that's a major decision in your life. Because you know, the enemy had the five I wills, and those were the I wills of a fool. And you'll have to go back and find that in Isaiah, but we won't go there today. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And underneath all of those, if you haven't underlined it yet, you should underline the word my. Because God is a personal God, and you can know him personally as your Lord and Savior. The Lord is my rock. When I think of a rock, I think of a solid place. A place where you can put your feet down and stand with something solid under your feet. And it reminds me of the parable of the house built on a firm foundation, or the house built on sand, that Jesus taught that parable in Matthew chapter 7. And when I think of the rock, I think of that foundation that we have in Christ. Jesus is the rock that don't roll. I used to play rock and roll, but Jesus is the rock that don't roll. But when I think about that parable that he taught, the storms of life come upon everybody. And Jesus taught that the winds came, the floods came, the rain came, and it beat upon that house. And it fell not, because it was built on a rock, on a firm foundation. The same floods came, the same winds blew, the same circumstances came upon the person who built their house on sand. And it was blown away, washed away, because it had no foundation. And Jesus was talking about you as a person and me as a person. We all face storms of life. One of the things I heard at the men's advance last week, and I wanted to scream it out because they wouldn't finish the verse, it had to do with being an overcomer. And so many times they kept saying, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But you know what? They forgot to leave out one of the most important things, and they loved not their lives unto death. That means they were so convinced that Jesus is real and they have the word of their testimony that they couldn't quite go the rest of the way to say, and I'm so convinced that this is real that I'm willing to die for my faith if I'm ever called to do so. And that's how you really overcome. Those three things. Don't leave something two-thirds done. But I wasn't the speaker, so I couldn't say that, but I could here, and I did. So the next time you read it, don't forget to read part three of the same verse, okay?
Yes.
All right. And then coming back to Psalm 18, if you haven't left there yet, he says, my fortress, my place of safety and protection. The early trips into Europe that I went on with Jesse's grandpa, all along through Germany and the Czech Republic and Slovakia and Austria, as you drove down miles and miles of highway, and especially when you get into the Czech Republic and Slovakia, almost nobody had a car because under communism, nobody could afford one. Most people didn't have one, so the road was free to travel. And off on all of these hills, every once in a while, you'd see a beautiful castle or an old fortress high up on a mountain, just all there by itself, like you couldn't get near that place. If you were living in that place, you would always see your enemies coming a mile, miles and miles away, and you'd be ready for them. And God is our fortress. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty fortress, and he's our protector, and he's the one that gives us strength in a time of trouble. He's the one that gives us exactly what we need when we come under assault by any of our enemies in the spiritual realm. And it's a great place to be. We don't have to fight our own battles anymore because God goes before us and he wipes out a lot of our enemy. Once in a while, I think maybe he might leave one just to see how we'll handle it. That's just a Rick thought. I don't know that for sure, but the ones that we face are for our winning. My deliverer. Did you know that God has already delivered us from the powers of darkness? Did you know that he's already done that? Colossians 1:13 says that he did. So I don't really have to be too overly concerned about the power of the devil, because my Bible also says that the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10 fits right in there very nicely. When you think about what the devil's come to steal and destroy, Priscilla, look at your life, a pile of ashes, and look at the beauty God brought out of it. That's a testimony that will stand for forever. Of we got to experience that with you today, because we've all had some skirmishes in our life. I'm sure if everyone were to speak something like that about their life, the way that we dealt with it until we really knew that it was a battle that only God was going to help us to win, because he's a God of mercy, he's a God of compassion, and he's a God of power, and he's a God of forgiveness, and he's a God who has a wonderful future for us, no matter what the present looks like and no matter what the past looks like. He's a God of our future. Where was I? Oh, my deliverer. Yes. And he delivered us all, every one of us in this room. He brought us out. And Colossians 1:13 uses an interesting word. Not only were we delivered from the power of darkness, but he has translated us. When I think of translated, I always think of the Star Trek, beam us up, Scotty. You know, the sight, they're just suddenly, they're taken from one place and suddenly they're in another. In an instant, when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, our feet are still planted here on the earth, but we've been translated into his kingdom, and we are now seated at the Father's right hand, seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. That's where we are spiritually. That's no small potatoes right there, as a Vermonter would say. In fact, the turnips are pretty good too. Oh, number four, we can glean out of this. My God, he's personal. You can say this, he's your God. He alone is the one true and living God. And I know that because Jesus said that his Father was the only true and living God. So even if I didn't know it, and I didn't for all those years before salvation, when I did know it, I could just rejoice that when I found it, Jesus said that his Father was the only true living God, then I knew it was for sure. I saw it in red letters and knew that it was him who spoke it. And in him is no lie, in him is no shadow of turning. Everything that he says is the absolute purest of truth. And I knew that the God that we serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in him that we can say that he is our God. There is no other God like him. Ask Wayne, how many gods and goddesses and statues did you see in India, huh? Thousands and thousands upon thousands upon thousands and more thousands. And they all try to worship all those gods, and I don't know how they can be faithful to any of them. Who would you know to be faithful to and who not to? He's the one true God whom I serve, whom I trust, and the only one who can and does provide for all my needs, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the measure that God will go to meet your needs. My strength. He's my source of strength to stand and to live for him. Ephesians 6:10 talks about Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we lack strength, when we lack stamina, when we start feeling weak-kneed and not having any confidence to go forward, that's because we're looking at us and we're not looking at him. He is our source of strength. And you know what? The same spirit that raised Christ dwells in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There's power available to overcome everything. We're not victims anymore. And the victim mentality is really big in the society around us. And they're victims because sometimes people choose to be. They like the attention. They like all the likes on Facebook. They like the drama. They like all of that stuff so that people will just look down and feel sorry for them. And they never get out of it. Jesus has lifted us out of it. We're not victims. We were a victim of sin at one time, but now we're free. And we're people that are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we are free people. Think on that. My buckler. What is a buckler? Well, we wear belts with buckles. But buckler is an interesting word. When you look up the meaning, it's a shield of defense. A piece of defensive armor anciently used in war. And I had to look this up because I wanted to glean all the details. It was composed of wood or wickers woven together, covered with skin or leather, and fortified with plates of brass or other metal and worn on the left arm. And in the middle of it, it's called an umbo, a boss of prominence, very useful in causing stones and darts to dance off. And I don't have something to illustrate that, but in the middle of that shield, it had a bulge in it, something in the center of it, because if arrows or spears or stones were thrown at you, your shield would protect the outer perimeter of that, but that bulge in that shield where it bulges out deflects. As it defends you, it also deflects whatever the enemy threw at you. And you know, we have the shield of faith, don't we? Which is able to quench three of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh my God. All? Wow, that's amazing. That's some shield. I don't know, maybe our military should use a few more shields, huh, Jess? Yeah, we just got a tank. We can blow the guy off holding his shield. Boom! But not the shield of faith. Nope. Let's see. The horn of our salvation. The horn of my salvation. It's a symbol of glory and power. Christ in me, the hope of glory, or my glorious hope. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:8. That's the horn of our salvation. It's a symbol of glory and power in the life of a believer. And don't you know the enemy sees it too? We don't maybe see it in the natural realm, but our spiritual weapons are absolutely incredibly powerful and mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. My high tower. A lot of those fortresses that I saw in Europe. And plus, I was stationed in Germany for 2 years, so I got to see a lot. I used to like to ride on the trains and see how many beers I could drink before we got to the next town. I'm just telling you a bit of my previous life, because that's where I was. That's what people do when they go to Germany in the military. They get hammered most of the time. And then our defense department trusts us with all that stuff. See, Jesse, it ain't changed. Oh, my. But in the spiritual realm, it's the place in Christ where he shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit reveals. That's where words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. But it's a place where he's our high tower in the sense of he sees things long before we see them. And he warns us, he alerts us to them, whether they're something we need to deal with, whether it's past, present, or future. He's like the one who can see around the next corner of life. and he lets us know. And it's like driving in our car. We got very attentive about praying each time we leave this place about safety on this road when we pull out of here, because just within the last year, accidents happened. We weren't involved in them, but could have very easily have been if we hadn't been really attentive about when we have a closing prayer or even after Bible studies, we thank the Lord for going before us to prepare the road for safe travel when we go home. But it's a place above my flesh, my reasoning, and my feelings. It's an observation point. And I made mention that we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ. This is far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. So we should learn to look at obstacles or things that we need to overcome from the winning perspective already, rather than this side of it, and we're looking up at them. We should be looking down on them from a place of victory, because in Christ we've already overcome. We're overcomers, and we're more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. And not only that, but my Bible, I don't know if yours says this or not. I have a funny Bible. It says some weird stuff sometimes. But this one is the truth. It says he always, that means in all ways, he causes us to triumph in Christ. So whatever things we're holding on to, whatever things are troubling us, whatever things are giving us a bad day, I'm thankful that it don't take a whole day to get stuff dumped at the cross where it belongs. I can do it in 5 minutes, or I can make it last all day if I choose to, but I really try to dump it long before then, because I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like the way it seems to be something that stands between me and him if I hold on to stuff, or if I perpetuate something longer than it really needs to be. And I'm thankful that he's my high tower, and we can just go to him anytime. You know, last week we had cares in that basket, and the word means to throw them. That's why I did that thing with the basket, because there was a point in time where when that was done, you knew that was the end of whatever you put in that basket. You don't have to go back and look for it again. And we've had 3 funerals in the backyard. A white glove funeral for one. That was a shoebox. And we did that. And people put all their cares in there, and we took them out back and buried them. And we had a nice white glove funeral for them. They're dead, gone, finished, and they're now part of the earth back there, never to be looked upon, never to be looked back on, and just keep going forward in Jesus. Once we cast them, don't take them back. And so that's our opening scripture today.